Let's pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, not only while we are in here in the warmth of this beautiful sanctuary, but also when we go out into the cold world. We ask this in your Son's holy name. Amen. I'm going to do something that I normally don't do, but I think we need to do it. So I want to ask you all to stand, and we will read the scripture together. It's really long. John 3:16. And I would like for you to remain standing after we finish. Join me now. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. People who are of Kingswood know this about me because I've said it probably five or six times in sermons. Over the last 3 years, the thing I have understood more than anything in the world is that there are three things we all need to know. That we are loved, that we matter, and we're not alone, right? So there are three things we're going to do. I would like for you to turn to somebody right near you and say, God loves you, and I love you too. And then when you say it to somebody, I want somebody to say it back to you, okay? So do that one thing, or two things, and then look back up here, and we have another thing to do, all right? That felt pretty good, didn't it? That feels good. That feels really good. Okay. Everybody over here, let's look at all those people over there. They are not like you. They didn't want to sit near you. They're different. But they need to know that God loves them. So I would like for you to tell those people way over there who are not like you that God loves you, and so do I, okay? One, two, three. God loves you, and so do I. Now, you see those people over there? Y'all are left-handed, and they're right-handed, and they're different. But they need to know that God loves them, too. And that you, as an individual, love them, okay? So let's give back to them what they just gave you. God loves you, and I love you too. Y'all are good. This is good. Best sermon I've preached all, probably in 2 or 3 years. Now, I need to tell you the same thing, because y'all need to hear it from me. If you never hear anything else from me, you need to hear this tonight. God loves you. And I love you too. You know something? I need to hear that from y'all. So give it to me. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, don't y'all feel better? You really do. I was remembering back to when I had premarital counseling 200 years ago, before June and I got married. We went to our premarital counseling was, I think, maybe one visit, maybe two at the most. And Dr. Younginer asked me, do you love her? I said, yes, sir. Do you tell her? Yes, sir. You need to tell her more. And those are good words. We need to make sure we tell people that we love them. They need to know that they're loved. They need to never doubt that they are loved. You really need to tell people that you love, and those you don't love, that you love them anyway. Because we're supposed to love people we don't like. In Scripture, there's not a lot of Scripture about Joseph. There really isn't. And if you look in the Gospel of Luke, you don't see much after the second chapter. I mean, you see something about when he goes to the temple, but it's not much after that. And Matthew's not much either. But there are some things that we can know about Joseph by the things that he did. My guess is he had strong hands. You could not be a carpenter without working with your hands, and your hands had to be strong. They worked with wood and they worked with stone, and they didn't have power tools. So they had to have strong hands. I would say that he was a man of integrity that knew who he was, and it really didn't matter what other people thought. Because by Jewish law, he could have divorced or should have divorced Mary. He could have had her stoned. But he didn't. We know that in the second chapter of Luke that it was his custom to make sure that he went to all the services, the rites, the holy days. When Jesus was born, he was dedicated, he was circumcised, he was blessed, all those things. We know that it was their custom to go to the Passover every year from Nazareth up to Jerusalem. We know that he was a godly man. I think he was meek, not weak, but strong. Strong with restraint. And in a world of, in a society where marriages were most likely arranged, he loved Mary. He lived lovingly. I believe he had a double portion of humility to make room in his life for Jesus, to be the stepfather of Jesus. For Jesus, Mary, and God were more important to him than what other people thought. We hear of Joseph's genealogy in Matthew, and in Luke we read about the journeys to Bethlehem. I love the video, and I love Joseph talking about Mary, about labor, and how hard she worked, giving birth, all the emotions that he had. That's one of the interesting things about finding out your wife is pregnant, or if you're the wife, finding out you're pregnant. There are a lot of different emotions that first time, aren't they? There is this optimism, there's this hope, there's this joy, there are a lot of great emotions. They really are. There's some trepidation. There's some fear. What am I going to do? I don't really know how to be a parent. I know how to be a child of somebody, but I'm not sure my parents were the ideal parent. Well, maybe they were. They were better than I'm going to be. I don't know what I'm going to do. What is this parenting thing going to be like? You're afraid, excited, joyful, love. I was thinking about when June was pregnant with Allison, our oldest. I was working for a company, and they knew my wife was in her second trimester, and they said, "You got to leave and go do an engineering project in Tennessee, and we're going to let you come home every time you need to come home, but we're only going to pay every other weekend." So I got to miss those three wonderful months of those raging hormones. They were still raging when I got home. I learned all the things I was missing. Came home and came close to all those emotions. All of a sudden trying to worry about getting the nursery ready and everything that you got to do when a baby's coming and they go to those checkups and you find out, make sure everything's okay. All those things. Y'all, You can shake your head. And on November the 30th, my wife got up before me. She was having contractions. Now, we didn't live 70 miles away from Bethlehem. We lived 35 miles from Augusta. And when we had children, you had to drive to Augusta from Thompson to have, if you wanted to have a good OB, you had to drive over there. So one of the things they'd tell you to do is, this before GPS, you need to find the best route to the hospital. You got to be careful. And they knew, they'd delivered so many babies from 35 miles away, they knew exactly when to tell you, when the contractions get so far apart, that's when you come. You head for Augusta. We had done everything you're supposed to do. We were prepared. We did Lamaze training. I mean, we knew how to do this natural childbirth thing. Well, I knew how to say contraction coming. That's about all I knew. But so we get down there, and they say, "Yep, you're getting ready. You're going to have that baby. You're not going home." They hook her up to that monitor, and you could see that when contraction was coming, and she would do the breathing. They would check her out in between contractions, and then all of a sudden they said, "This baby's breech. It's a frank breech." Well, they had already told us that in Lamaze classes, so I didn't think anything of it, but my stress level did elevate a little bit. They came back in and said, "We're going to do a cesarean section." Yeah, okay. Well, that ruled out my opportunity to see the baby being born, which was disappointing. And then they said, "Oh, yeah, if you get the urge to push, don't." Then they come back in and said, "Well, the operating room needs to be cleaned up. We don't know when it's going to be ready. We're just going to have to see." The next thing you know, she's at 10 centimeters. And the operating room is not clean. There is stress. You can see it in everybody's eyes. And then all of a sudden, wise men show up. A bunch of them. And none of them are bearing gifts. They were every resident in the hospital who was an OBGYN wanted to come see a woman give birth naturally to a frank breech baby. They had never seen that. They saw it that day. At all of those mixed emotions, as soon as that little 8-pound, 13-ounce baby came out, it changed everything. There was this automatic love. There was this automatic joy. There was automatic relief. There was all of this pent-up hope and peace and joy and love just everywhere. And they put that Allison on June's chest, and it was great. Having a baby, being born, is a beautiful thing. "O Little Town of Bethlehem" is one of my favorite songs, but I love the fourth verse of it. It goes, "O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today." When I think about all the emotions that Joseph talked about, all the emotions you can have when you're having a baby or there is a baby being born, all of those things, those are the same emotions we can have when we allow Christ to be born in us. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And when we believe that, Christ can be born in us. And it can be scary. It can be scary to give your heart to Jesus. Because Jesus changes us. In the video from last week, we saw the video of Mary, and Mary talked about she knew that Jesus was going to change the world. And just by looking at him, he had changed her. And I think of all the ways when we've allowed Jesus to be born in us, he can change us, can create in us hope that we never have had before. We can have peace that surpasses all understanding. We can have and know the joy of our salvation. And we can know love. That God loved us so much that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Folks, that's love. That's beautiful love. May all of us have room for Christ to be born in us, for Christ to grow in us. It's scary, it's exciting, it's life-changing, it's wonderful. But there are people who need to know it. And God has chosen us to tell them. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you that you love us. And we thank you that you desire for us to love them too. Lord, may we allow Christ to be born in us this day and every day. Amen.